I am in hopes that your faith might grow during the present crisis. The crisis is not over, and I hope that you know that. The virus decides when the crisis is over. But our faith is to help us in crisis all along the way. We affirm our faith each week at Daleville Christian Church from God's Word. Today our affirmation is from Romans 8. I believe we've used this recently before, and I can't get away from it. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And for all the listeners, I remind you what I remind the congregation, that sonship simply means that, as in the ancient world, sons were heirs, and we also, because we are all sons, are heirs of the kingdom of God. Let us pray together. O God of peace, you have taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Holy Spirit, Lord, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. God the Father, your will for all people is salvation and health. We praise you and thank you, O Lord. Son of God, you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We praise you and thank you, O Lord. Holy Spirit, make our bodies the temple of your presence. Grant your healing grace to all who are sick, that they may indeed be made whole, body, soul, and spirit. Grant to all who seek your guidance, and to all who are lonely, anxious, or despondent, a knowledge of your will and an awareness of your presence. Lord, mend broken relationships and restore those in emotional distress to soundness of mind and serenity of spirit. Lord, bless physicians, nurses, and all others who minister to the sick, granting them wisdom and skill, sympathy and patience. Restore to wholeness whatever is broken by human sin in our lives, in our nation, in our world. With you, O Lord, is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Almighty God, giver of life, send your blessing on all who are sick and all who minister to them, that all weakness may be vanquished by the triumph of the risen Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Savior of the world, by your cross and precious blood you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading of God's Word for today is from the book of Acts, in the 16th chapter, the 6th through the 16th verse, where we read of the mission of the Apostle Paul and those with him. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the Word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea, sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. And from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is Mother's Day, and if you want more of a Mother's Day sermon than today's message, I suggest that you go back in the sermon archives of previous years and pick one up there. Why? Because today is the first time we have Mother's Day in a pandemic. Mother's Day in the last pandemic of 1918 was not what Mother's Day would become 100 years later. This is still a pandemic. I don't think the numbers for the coronavirus have changed at all. So today is another pandemic-themed message from God's Word. In Acts, we read of the continuing mission of the Apostle Paul to go where no evangelist or church planter had gone before, to what we now call the country of Greece, the old heart of the Gentile world, or, as it was considered by the early church, the heart of the pagan, idol-worshipping world. I've been amazed at this report in Luke's second volume that we call the Book of Acts. Notice the leading of the Holy Spirit for the mission of Jesus to reach people with the gospel. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. I know most of you don't know where these places are and don't have Bible maps in front of you. That's okay. There's something else to notice. We moderns, or is it just me, often think in terms of all or nothing. If Jesus gave the mission to the disciples to go to the whole world, and the Apostle Paul has a mission to all the Gentiles, then you can just go, right? Jesus said, go to all. You can just go anywhere, right? Apparently not. Apparently the Holy Spirit has a certain order for the Apostle Paul to go. Not here just now, over here. No, not there. Wait, let me show you exactly what I mean. And so we read verse 9, during the night Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, so the apostle and team were on their way in the right direction to the right place because of the Holy Spirit's leading. And now also notice, if you didn't already, and for whatever reason, Luke moves from writing in the third person to using the first person. Up to this point in the account, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Once Paul had the vision, we got ready to leave for Greece. From Troas, we put out to sea. We went on to Neapolis. We traveled to Philippi. And we stayed there 3 days. We can't be sure why Luke went from a report to first-hand diary account. Some say, well, Luke was there. That's why. Maybe. And maybe Luke had a first-hand account in his hands, and instead of working it back into a report form, just put it in without explanation. It was a good first-hand account. Now please notice, what we are told in the vision. The apostle sees a man calling them to the country we call Greece. So the team went there. The Holy Spirit revealed the direction to go. But when the team gets there, they went to a place to pray. These Jews could not have expected to find a synagogue in the country of Greece, a nation of Gentiles, people that Jews generally considered idol-worshipping pagans. Maybe they knew that there were Jews in Philippi, but no synagogue. But these Jews go to look for a group on the Sabbath that might be together to pray, because it is the Jewish Sabbath. The Gentiles don't have a Sabbath day. Now, given that Paul has had a vision of a man calling them, I might expect that Paul would find a man who was there to pray, and even a man who looked something like the man in Paul's vision. But Paul did not. Paul found only women. You or I, as moderns or literal readers, might have concluded that we were in the wrong place and needed to keep looking. That's not what happened. Paul did not conclude that Paul was in the wrong place just because there was no man present like the vision Paul had seen. What did happen? Verse 13. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. So I have to ask you, what would you have done at the time? Would you have asked Paul, "Paul, where is the man in your vision? Is he here? Where is the man in your vision?" The vision definitely had a man in it. That is what was reported. Paul's response basically must have been, "No matter, we go with what is put in front of us. We go with what we've got." We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And amazingly enough, one woman there named Lydia is a worshiper of Israel's God. Lydia is a worshiper of God, a Gentile, but she has heard of and is obedient to Israel's God, not the pagan followers. Now, Lydia was not a convert to Judaism, or the book of Acts would have said so, but Lydia received the word and was baptized. So Paul's decision to go with what was placed in front of him bore fruit for the mission of Jesus. And that's pretty much the point of the sermon today. With regard to the mission of Jesus, we go with what we've got. Jesus gave some instructions when Jesus sent disciples out on mission. We looked at some of those last time. You know, I send you out as sheep among wolves. In Luke's book, his first volume, his gospel book, Luke wrote, chapter 10, and I don't know if I need to read all these instructions, but Jesus told the disciples, "When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. For the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" Notice, Jesus said, if you're not welcome, don't make a big deal of it. Don't convince them to let you stay. Don't try to persuade them. Move on. Also notice, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Your peace will rest on them. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. And this instruction is repeated in the next verse. Verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered you. Jesus is sending out Jews, but not all Jews keep kosher. What should the disciples do? Just skip it. The mission is too important to get held up by food laws. What might this instruction mean to us? Well, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Maybe you don't like tofu, but you got there on Tuesday, and Tuesday is tofu night. Eat the tofu, and don't go looking for the town that has Taco Tuesday or Turkey Dinner Tuesday. You landed in Tofu Town on tofu night. Eat with glad and generous hearts. Go with what you get. Pastor Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, is clear in his early statement in the book that life is a test. The life of the believer is still a test. The question is often, what are you going to do now? Paul had a test in Phoenicia, didn't he? The vision itself was a test, was it not? Just because God makes God's way clear to us doesn't mean that we will follow it. True? Paul answers that test of the vision by going to Phoenicia. Paul's on a mission from God. The details of that same vision were not realized that Saturday morning in Philippi. There was no man present, only women. Paul, what will you do? Paul's response to that test, keep to the mission. Go with what you've got. And the mission of Jesus succeeded. Paul mentioned in his letters that he endured shipwrecks, and Acts shows us a dramatic shipwreck in chapter 27 and another dramatic event in chapter 28. But allow me to set a bracket here for a moment. We should change topics. I have to mention that any Christian believer in the New Testament, if they were arrested, they didn't fight it. Paul mentioned once that he was a Roman citizen so that Paul could get a trial, which he got, and appeals, which brought him to one of the shipwrecks. I only mention that because some pastors in this crisis we're in have resisted arrest when they exert their rights. There's no Christian I see in the New Testament who resists arrest. They go when they are arrested. Now, back to chapter 28. Long story short, Paul got to shore, was welcomed, but got bitten by a snake. A serpent. If you missed last week's message, don't. But last week we learned five words are used and are variously translated. Serpent, snake, viper, adder, cobra. King James Version adds the word asp. They're interchangeable in the Bible, although modern science will tell you a viper is not a cobra and cobra is not an adder. These are specific types of snakes. But what did Paul do then? Literally, the Bible says, he shook it off and went on with the mission. Now, I want to emphasize today's message in a different way, but I have already shown you the Bible evidence. I'm taking a different track. Everyone knows the saying, when life hands you lemons, you make lemonade. The Bible is showing us that in Jesus' mission, yes? But I've always preferred Hoosier David Letterman's take on that phrase. David Letterman always said, if life hands you alligators, you make Gatorade. And no, I'm sorry, I don't have any alligator quotes from the Bible. We looked at serpents. There is an alligator lizard. There are reptiles and amphibians in the Bible, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So, Daleville Christian Church, if we're going to make Gatorade from alligators of this pandemic, it would be really great to have a recipe. It would also be really helpful if we had someone who had made Gatorade before from the particular alligators we have been given for our Gatorade. But there's no person with experience and no one has a recipe, but life has handed us alligators and we are determined to make Gatorade from the alligators of this pandemic we have been given. Well, as I mentioned, it would be great if someone out there was an alligator wrangler. No one at Daleville Christian Church that I know of has this particular gift, unless you've been hiding your light from me. But if you have wrestled alligators, be proud of your abilities. And now Daleville Christian Church needs your special gift and experience right now. Without our very own alligator wrangler, I have watched enough nature programs to know that we have to be able to tie the gator's mouth closed. I think we assign the elders to that duty while I get some duct tape. So far, so good. And I think we will need all the elders on this job, don't you? Now, I can't and I wouldn't recommend that any of the elders attempt to wrangle the gator alone. It's going to take all of us working together. Don't worry, I'll have the duct tape ready. We also have to have all the elders help, and we might need some of the younger people because, as I've watched television, we have to get the gator on the truck to get the gator to the kitchen. Now, this next step, some of you might be squeamish about. You might also be concerned for the gator's fate, like maybe it could have gone to a gator shelter or reserve, or maybe released somewhere else in the wild. Well, as your pastor, I looked into this. No one will take this particular gator because the gator is infected with COVID-19. But don't worry, the gator is still completely edible. So for the squeamish among us, let me just say that some of us have some experience processing meat or field dressing meat. So let me leave it at that. See how this is going to take the whole church at Daleville Christian Church to get this done, to make Gatorade? And let me say right now, I hope you've been listening to the sermon from the beginning because it won't make any sense unless you know that we're talking about making Gatorade when life hands you gators, okay? Can you imagine someone coming, dropping in on this sermon somewhere in the middle? Okay, we shift gears here because now our nature program becomes a cooking program. Martha Stewart did a lot of things on her show, but I don't recall her ever taking an alligator from swamp to table. But you and I are going to. Have I mentioned that I've actually eaten some gator tail? How, you might wonder, since alligators are protected animal? Well, it was my cousin in Florida. He was one of the people I know who died from smoking. He was good friends with either the sheriff or a friend in the Department of Natural Resources, I can't remember which. But a motorist had hit and killed an alligator, and the sheriff called my cousin to ask if my cousin wanted the animal. Yes, my cousin did. So when I visited my cousin not too long after, I was offered a bite of meat, but my cousin wouldn't tell me what it was. It had the shape of a pork loin, the meat shredded like pork loin, and it tasted a bit like pork loin to me. My cousin told me it was alligator tail. So, you can make a completely edible dish from alligator. You can make Gatorade when life hands you gators. I know what I'm talking about. Would you like to guess what the inner part of the gator tail is called? Yes, it's called tenderloin. I have since found out you can now order gator meat online. This sermon brought to you by the Culinary Institute of America. And that is one answer to how to serve gator. The tail makes a good roast. But since we have been given a whole gator with the pandemic, we should probably use all the meat available. There's meat in the legs and some other parts of the body. Since the gator has powerful jaws, there's meat to be had in the jaw as well. The gator has light and dark meat, and just as in turkey and chicken, some people prefer the dark meat. Now, once you have the meat, we get to decide how we will cook it. Deb and I will make a case for smoking the meat on the grill. You can eat it right off the grill, or, as Deb and I have done, use the smoked meat in other dishes. Since there might not be enough gator meat as a main dish for the whole church, I would suggest a gator pot pie using the smoked gator, or make a gator quiche. You may have heard that real men don't eat quiche, but I'm here to tell you that real men do eat smoked gator quiche. Once you smoke the gator meat, you could also use the smoked meat in a breakfast casserole like we serve at our Easter breakfast. So Daleville Christian Church, we are going to go with what we've got. We're going to eat what's been put in front of us. We've been handed a pandemic. As one commentator put it, Don't let earth get in the way of heaven. Life has handed us lemons. We're going to make lemonade. Or as Hoosier David Letterman used to say, if life hands you gators, make Gatorade. Go with what you've got. The apostle did. Jesus' instructions to the disciples, eat what is offered you. Amen.